The Adventures in Hellworld podcast talks in depth about QAnon. While it's meant to be comedic informative, sometimes we have to get into things like child abuse and violence against people. Listener discretion advised.
Hello, everybody. I am Mike Rains, a.k.a. Poker and Politics, and welcome to another scintillating episode of Adventures in Hellworld. This week, I'm joined by Eric, the Deep State operative.
That's right. I'm here. And once again, I've failed to think of anything clever before Mike stopped talking.
And I'm also joined by Steph.
Hi, I also failed to think of anything clever to say.
It's going to be a great episode.
You can just feel the high energy from my co-hosts, rip-roaring and ready to engage. And because I also feel that, viewer, guess what? We're getting grossly self-indulgent right now. Fiddlesticks to everything else that's going on in this world. I need to talk about my stupid band and the stupid controversy that happened recently, because boy howdy is it dumb, and it's broken containment. Every garbage video I look at on YouTube, if you go under new, like the top 50 replies are all comments about beach balls and Shirley Manson being a crazy bitch. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, God bless you. It's much like QAnon. This is, I don't know, Sherlanon, and it's very silly. But basically, this is a thing that I have known about for a long time. In wrestling, there's this thing called going into business for yourself, which you're fighting a dude, and you're supposed to make him look good, but then you say to yourself, fuck that shit, and you make yourself look good because you want to impress the crowd. You want to get your shit in. Well, in the wrestling world and in other contexts, crowds like to go into business for themselves. They like to start doing dumb chants that don't have anything to do with the match. They like to just do anything to entertain themselves. And when you're at a concert, one of those things is throwing beach balls around and just like sort of having a gay old time just batting that ball around the crowd. And like a million years ago, I was at a garbage concert, and the opening band, I think, was like Boys Against Girls. My senility may or may not have caught up with me. And they actually threw an inflatable whale into the crowd, and we beat the shit out of that thing, and we knocked it around. And eventually people figured out there was like stickers and bumper stickers and other merch on the whale, and they like tore the thing to pieces, getting the merch off of it. And the band laughed because they were like, oh, usually people figure out there's merch on that thing a lot quicker than that. So the whale lasted a long time. But at that crowd, at that concert, after the whale, there were beach balls involved. And at some point, Shirley had a fit and basically told people, I find that incredibly disrespectful. You paid a ticket to watch us perform. Do not fucking bat around beach balls and entertain yourselves like a bunch of chumps. Watch the band that you paid for, please, and thank you. And crowd cheered for this, and we all sided with Shirley against the beach balls because that's what you do when you're at a garbage concert and they're your band and so on. So fast forward to a million years later and the same thing happens, but it's at a festival in Australia where there's lots of bands taking the stage and garbage might not be your cup of tea. They're an old band from the 90s. What person under the age of 30 cares about them? Probably nobody. So what happened was the crowd's batting around a bunch of beach balls. Shirley gives her speech. It doesn't go over well. So now she's trapped in this negative feedback loop of me crushing the beach ball prick didn't get me a pop. What's going on here? So she starts doubling down and getting really angry about this stuff. And that doesn't work. And then it goes viral and she becomes the villain. And it's hilarious because I just think that this is a thing that just happens when you don't control the crowd the way you think you did. Like, this is literal crush a heckler 101 shit for a comic. And every time you watch like YouTube videos, comic destroys heckler, it's just the guy crushes the heckler, the crowd pops huge, the heckler gets thrown out, and everyone's like, comic, and the comic's like, yeah, that's right, I crushed that heckler. And I really think that's what she thought was going to happen here, and it didn't, and it freaked her out. And then this led to a spiral. And at the end of the day, this is a 48-hour news cycle event. It will come and go. She's already laughed at herself and posted videos on Instagram about, quote-unquote, a bad bitch with a beach ball and all that kind of stuff. But it's really funny. It's really funny to me that you think you have control of a crowd. You've done this beach ball shtick probably 50 times in your life, and then it bombs, and you don't know how to react to it bombing, when it's always worked before, and now that you're out over your skis and you don't know what to do, it just, you crash and you burn. So that's basically my take on the whole thing. It's really Much Ado About Nothing, but people are like, this crazy bitch is worried about beach balls. It's like, no, it's about like caring about the performer that's performing for you and actually not like just fucking blowing them off to entertain yourself. That was the actual thing that she was trying to convey, but no one wants to hear that. And no one wants to hear me talk about this kind of stuff, but we have nothing but rehashed bullshit for news this week. So I got to fill this hour somehow. And here I am doing some jazz hands. I'm talking about garbage. I did it. That's 6 minutes of pod in the can, baby. Woo! Score. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you all for listening. 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. Oh, yeah.
5-star review. Exactly. Patreon talking. The greatest episode ever. People log on 7 minutes. What the fuck? And be like, yeah. You get nothing this week because, God, do we have so little. Oh, man. But, we might as well start with the breaking news, because why not? Because this is a little bit of excitement and a little slice of joy in this world. So, if you didn't hear about this little, incident going on, which I don't know why you would have, because God, you have to be in the weeds for this shit. But basically, Indiana was pondering gerrymandering their house map to a 9-0 GOP majority instead of a 7-2 GOP majority, trying to shave two House seats off the Democrats. And of course, Trump, being a lunatic maximalist who wants everything to go absolutely the way he wants it to go, threw a fit and posted on Truth Social, quote, "I love the state of Indiana and have won it, including primaries, 6 times, all by massive majorities. Importantly, it now has a chance to make a difference in Washington, D.C. in regard to the number of House seats we have that are necessary to hold the majority against the radical left Democrats. Every other state has done redistricting willingly, openly, and easily. There was never a question in their minds that contributing to a win," all caps, he wanted to make that win pop, "in the midterms for the Republicans was a great thing to do for our party and for America itself. In all fairness, Democrats have been doing redistricting for years and continue to do so. Unfortunately, Indiana Senate quote-unquote leader Rod Bray enjoys being one of the only person in the United States of America who is against Republicans picking up extra seats. In Indiana's case, 2 of them. He is putting every ounce of his limited strength into asking his soon-to-be very vulnerable friends to vote with him. By doing so, he is putting the majority of the House of Representatives, Washington, D.C., at risk, at the same time putting anyone in Indiana who votes against redistricting likewise at risk. The people of Indiana don't want the party of sleepy Joe Biden, Kamala, Ilhan Omar, or the rest to succeed in Washington. Bray doesn't care. He's either a bad guy or very stupid." By the way, the fact that we've removed the limit on characters on Truth Social so Trump can just write a fucking stem winder, I mean, my God. I'm going to have to do an ad break while I eat a lunch to recover and like gather some more strength to finish this thing up. Holy shit. "Bray doesn't care. Either he's a bad guy or a very stupid one. In any event, he and a couple of his friends will partner with the radical left Democrats. They found some Republican suckers," in quotes, with an end all caps. Very weird. "And they couldn't be happier that they did. Guys like failed Senate candidate Mitch Daniels, who I opposed in his race against Senator Jim Banks, and Cam Savage, whoever that is." You hit him with the Conor McGregor. Who the fuck is that guy? Oh, burn. Ooh, sick burn. I want to let you all know, I've said all this shit that I've said, and I'm scrolling through this thing. I have not gotten to the bottom of this post yet. There's so much more to read. Oh, man. I remember a million years ago, back before Alzheimer's bit our boy and turned him into the drooling slob that he is now, that when Twitter went to 280 characters instead of 140, as was its original design, Trump expressed outrage because he thought he was very good at busting out a tight 140-character tweet. and now every crumb bum alive could do a 280 tweet. So it kind of robbed him of his special talent. And now this thing is like a 5,000 word novella that he's writing on social media. It's like, oh my God. Anyhow, are fighting against the Republican Party all the way. Bray and his friends are the favorite Republicans of Hakeem Jeffries, crazy Nancy Pelosi, and crying Chuck Schumer. Anyone that votes against redistricting and the success of the Republican Party in D.C. will be, I am sure, met with a MAGA primary in the spring. If Republicans do not do what is necessary to save our country, they will eventually lose everything to the Democrats. Rod Bray and his friends won't be in politics for long, and I will do everything in my power to make sure they do not hurt our country, the Republican Party, or our country again. One of my favorite states, Indiana, will be the only state in the union to turn the Republican Party down. And that was the first one. The sad thing was, I thought that was the juicy one that he posted, which I'm going to now have to go find, because Jesus Christ, that was so much. Trump, Indiana threat. Go ahead. Were you going to say something, Eric?
Me? No. No, I was just leaning forward now, listening to you with bated breath.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I had the same thought too about how he used to be like, I'm the king of the 140 character tweet. And now he's like, yeah. And now he's like Ayn Rand, writing John Galt's speech that lasts 85 pages. That's out there, you know, for the five people listening to this podcast who know who Ayn Rand is.
Yes. Okay. So the Heritage Foundation posted a threat from Donald Trump to defund Indiana if it doesn't pass the gerrymander. President Trump has made it clear to Indiana leaders, if the Indiana Senate fails to pass the map, all federal funding will be stripped from the state. Adding, roads will not be paved, guard bases will close, major projects will stop. These are the stakes, and every no vote is to blame. God, I wish I had read that first, because that would have been a lot quicker and more to the point than Grandpa's rambling diatribe about how much he hates the Indiana Senate not going along with the gerrymander. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody slipped some ketamine in his Cheerios this morning.
Something. Jesus Christ, fucking something.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that was the giant piss-filled ramblings of our boy Donald Trump.
The leader of the free world.
Leader of the free world. The guy the American people elected in a popular vote victory.
In the greatest landslide in human history.
Oh, God.
Makes Washington getting every single vote look like a pansy.
Yes. Oh, all of it. All of it. I mean, it is insane that this happened. But, the Indiana Senate rejected him. They told him to go piss up a rope. They told him to go fuck off. And they did not pass the rigged map, the rigged and stolen map, as Trump would say, were he to talk about it. The bill failed 31-19, voted against it, and plenty of Republicans voted against it. So this is where we're at. And
it is kind of interesting because it seems like old Donnie's losing his grip.
That's the thing that's really interesting about it. Yeah, it's really interesting that the Republican Party decided not to go along with this. Now, the one thing I do wonder about it is, were they worried that this might actually be what is known in the industry as a dummy mander, where you set it up to rig it, but you actually backfire and you give more seats to the other party because you diluted your own voting pools so much that it was easier to tip it? Because the thing is, gerrymandering is a science. People have figured out ways to rig elections for quite some time now. And if the 7-2 map was a map where like every Republican wins by 15 points, then you give the Democrats two seats and you call it a day. If the 9-0 map was a map where like four or five Republicans only win by 7 points. Guess what? Wave election hits. People are really fucking pissed off. Suddenly, Democrats win 4 seats in the House. And it's like, oh, shit. What the hell is this? There's no perfect way to do this where you make sure that you have prevented the other side from winning. And that's going to be the big question with like the Texas redistricting, which I know they're still fighting about in the courts and stuff. But if they do go through with it, will the Texas map actually yield what they think it's going to yield, or will it end up backfiring on them? Because, spoiler alert, Republicans are going to be very unpopular in 2026. It's not going to go well for them. So, yeah, this is going to be very interesting to see how it all shakes out. But
And I wonder if maybe, like, you know, if Marjorie kind of going against, and she's still right wing, but I think Marjorie kind of going against like the MAGA shit now and like speaking out against like Trump and stuff like that. I wonder, I hope in some way that that's giving other people some courage to kind of go against Trump, like even the Republicans. Like, look, I know Marjorie's a bitch and I don't like her politics at all, but I do like the fact that she has principles and that she stood by the Epstein people. And I like the fact that whether it's genuine or not, I don't think she's really sorry, but I think her anger towards Trump is genuine. And I kind of hope that this might inspire other people to kind of be like, this is bullshit. I'm just a right winger. I'm not MAGA, you know? Right wingers are easier to deal with than MAGA because MAGA is more like, you know, a cult.
Yeah. And going back to what I was saying, is with the Epstein thing, it's like, that was like another sign that he doesn't have the iron grip he had before, because now he had to run up there and say, oh, no, it's okay to vote Epstein, so that when hundreds of Republicans voted for Epstein, it didn't look like, you know, a massive rout against him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was 100% why he was like, vote yes on the Epstein thing. I totally want you to.
That thing I told you 24 hours ago to never vote on. Yeah, I'm cool with it now.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Because he knew if he banged the table and said, vote no, that he wasn't going to get that. He knew it was going to be a huge wave of defections and it was going to look really bad for him. So, yeah. It's not great. It was not great. And this is the thing that's really interesting, is the whole slow fading into lame duck status for Trump. That I don't know how he's going to deal with it. I don't know how QAnon's going to deal with it. Just the fact that we're reaching the end point of Donald Trump's influence over our politics is something that a lot of people are now having to come to grips with, and what that means for their grifting careers, for America in general, all of it. There's just so much going on that's been tied to this one guy. And now that one guy is going to leave the national stage within 3 years, basically. Like, he is not going to be relevant for much longer. Because I've said this before on the pod, and so everyone, you can take a nap if you want. Come back in 10 minutes. It'll be okay. But after the 2026 midterms, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens, because the Democrats are not going to the wheel's going to keep spinning on our side of the aisle. The Democrats are going to start declaring for president. And does Trump just say, Vance is my boy, I hope he wins? Does Trump say, let's have an open competitive Republican primary and see how that goes? Or does Trump say, fuck everyone, illegal third term, woo! I mean, for me personally, I'm all for team illegal third term, because they would be such a train wreck and such a shit show that it would be hilarious. But I also am on team Trump will not make it through his term due to health issues. So Operation Illegal Third Term is not going to happen. But boy, howdy, if it did, it would be hilarious. And I've actually seen some people talking about that online, saying like these kinds of things, like Marjorie turning on him, the Epstein vote, Indiana telling him to go piss up a rope on the gerrymandering. like these things may make him decide, fuck, I'm going to go Operation Illegal Third Term because I want to like put my, make everyone know that I still have an iron grip on this party. That I'm going to force you people into accepting my illegal effort to run for president again. And just start an all-out Republican civil war between people that are going to back that illegal move and people who are going to be like, look, love you, Donnie, but not in love with you. Call me later. I'll talk to you soon, but not anytime soon. So yeah, I think that's going to be very interesting how that all shakes out and how the coping mechanism of all the Trump dead enders is going to hit as they watch Orange Grandpa slowly fade into the sunset.
And I'm also kind of wondering about Texas, because it seems like it's like they're like, yes, we're going to gerrymander. No, we're not going to gerrymander. Yes, we're going to gerrymander. So, like, the Supreme Court was all like, you can do it as long as it's political and not racial. And Texas is like, oh, it's 100% racial. And the Supreme Court's like, okay, fine, we'll do it anyway. Even though you said you're doing the thing we said you can't do, we're still going to let it happen.
Well, that's our beloved Supreme Court. I mean, boy, howdy. I had a couple arguments with some people recently, and it's like, you know, none of this shit would have happened if we'd all Pokemon go to the polls in 2016 and just gotten Hillary over the finish line. Like, life would be so much better if that happened. And they're just like, Hillary sucked! And I'm like, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is if she won, things would be a lot better. And they're like, blame her for it. I'm like, no, I will not blame her for it. I will blame the people that were telling people to write in Harambe. Because this election didn't really matter, and it was fun. And do whatever you want. And guess what? Every election has consequences. Every election has stakes. And if you don't want to accept what those stakes are, that is a you problem. That is not a candidate's problem. And if a candidate says, vote for me, or the other guy is going to get to appoint a lot of people to the Supreme Court, and then you tell that candidate, go piss up a rope, Hillary, I don't care. Then when the Supreme Court goes to the bad guys for a generation, you can't be like, damn it, that bitch Hillary, if only she had warned me about SCOTUS. And it's like, she did, and you told her to fuck off, and you wrote in Harambe. So I don't know what you wanted her to do. Yeah. I don't know what tummy rub you wanted her to give you.
And then rinse and repeat for 2024, because it was the same thing. All these people were like, how come Kamala Harris didn't warn us this would happen? And then they're like, we did warn you it would happen. And she's like, yeah, but you didn't convince me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you had to sell me better on this. And it's just, hey, you had agency. You had agency. You could make this decision. And you and so many others wanted to touch the hot stove. So, hey, you did it. Congratulations. I actually had someone quote tweet me and say that I'm the guy that was touching the hot stove, which made me cackle malevolently. A, because I love it when people quote tweet me when I'm having a conversation with them, because they're trying to pull the conversation off the timeline they're currently on and onto their own timeline where their bros can gang up on you. They want you to play a road game if you want to keep fighting them. And B, it's just like, buddy, I'm the one wearing the oven mitt. I'm the one who's always had the oven mitt on. I am so against touching hot stoves. It's crazy. And so don't you dare. Don't you ever tell me that I'm about the hot stove. Because I am the vote
blue. How dare you, sir?
Yes. but I'm saying, I got on Twitter around 2018. If you look at my 2020 timeline, I am like riding with Biden all day, every day. 2024, I just fell out of a coconut tree. I love myself some Kamala. And guess what? In 2028, whoever the Democrat is, I'm going to say it with my chest that you need to vote for them. There will be no ambiguity in how I feel and where I stand. And then my favorite part about all these arguments I have with these people is they're like, hey, I voted for Kamala, or I voted for Hillary. And it's like, it's so weird how you people hate these candidates, but you always found the way to vote for them, even though you hated them. So strange how you're like, don't blame me, I did vote, even though I worked very hard to demoralize people and encourage them not to vote for this person, and so on and so forth. And it's just like, It's the definition of consensual sex is enthusiastic consent. Not begrudging, not arm twist, no, enthusiastic. I want to do that. And that's where I'm at when it comes to politics and elections, is that you gotta put your back into it. You gotta be fired up. And I have said it many times. I thought that Gavin Newsom's missteps right after Trump won, where he was palling around with Charlie Kirk and Steve Bannon and all that shit, stupid, awful, fucking misreading the room hardcore. But Newsom's throwing punches now, and guess what? He wins the nomination. Boom. Being of pure light that has never done never made a misstep in his life. The greatest American hero we've ever had. So yeah, it's just that, because the worst of us is better than the best of theirs. There is no Democrat worse than any Republican. They're all dog shit. They're all monsters. Our side is busy arguing NIMBY versus YIMBY and energy policies and immigration and all this kind of stuff. And their side is arguing, how publicly do we support Hitler? And are demons real? Benny Johnson, everyone was joking that his wife caught the videos of his latest cruise where he was making out with dudes. Because Benny Johnson had a post where he's like, demonic possession is real. Pronounce the name of Christ and protect yourself. And it's like, Benny, don't think it was the demons that made you make out with that guy. I think it's the fact that you're closeted and you just need to accept it. Live your truth, Benny.
That's what Satan wants you to think.
Yeah. And Tucker Carlson's done interviews where he got clawed by a demon.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Didn't he admit, in the same interview, that his dog sleeps in bed with him?
Yes.
So, yeah. But no, it was the demon. Not
Fluffy. Not Fluffy or Wolverine or whatever his name was. It wasn't his doggo that gave him a little scratch. It was a demon. I love that the demon was able to give him a scratch, but not actually able to, put a hurt on him. So demons are, ineffective monsters working on behalf of Satan.
Well, even when he sleeps, he has on his armor of God. And that's all that is.
The full armor of God, baby. The full armor of God. I love, God, QAnon has taught me that fucking phrase so much. It's ridiculous.
That would be a great name for a brand of chastity belt.
I think I call mine No Sir. No Sir, the chastity belt.